Joshua chapter 1, we're going to be reading 10 through 13. 10 through 13. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, 'Prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it.' And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, 'Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, "The Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land."'" Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight as we've read your word aloud. Lord, we know that it is perfect. It is awesome. We ask that you would bless it, Lord. We lift up Sister Sharon to you tonight, who is in the emergency room. Lord, as she has asked for prayer, and we do ask, Lord God, that you would be with her and heal her body. Whatever it may be that's going on there, Lord, we do lift up Craig Dye to you. Lord, who has had his chest open and is still open, Lord. A lot of complications with his heart, and we just pray for a quick recovery for him. We ask, Lord God, for those that are grieving and have lost loved ones, that you would grant them peace in their hearts this evening. We lift up our sister Debo, Lord. We know that her mother is still very, very ill. And she just asked that, Lord, she has asked that you would take her mother home and that she would be with you. And so, Lord, we pray that your will would be done in that situation. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you do for us. And I thank you for those that gather tonight to listen to your word and sing praises to you. I ask your blessings upon these people, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. A few things we're going to look at tonight here in Joshua in chapter 1. The major part of Joshua in chapter 1 is the command that was given, the commands and the promises that was given by the Lord to Joshua there in 1 through 9. But we're going to have some practical things that's going to come out in 10 through 18 that Joshua is going to address and going to take care of here in our text. And I want you to see what it says here. Joshua, they are here at the River Jordan. We're going to see later on that the River Jordan was in flood stage. It was swollen, just as our rivers are around here. It was in flood stage, and they are camped here. They are ready to go in and possess the land that had been promised to them for so long. And listen to what it says here in verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, now, I want us to see what happens. The Lord commands Joshua in the first 9 verses. Remember that? So the Lord commands Joshua in the first 9 verses, and then Joshua turns around. There's a chain of command here. There's an absolute chain of command. Joshua turns around and he calls the leaders of the tribes of Israel. He calls all those that are in leadership, all those that are in the military that are in leadership, and he calls them. And then he commands them. And he commands them to tell the people to do something. And listen to what it says. And so we see the Lord calls Joshua, and then Joshua commands the leaders, and then the leaders command the people. Listen to what it says here. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, 'Prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you're to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God has given to you to possess it.'" Verse 11, he begins there. He says, "Go and pass through the people, commanding them to prepare." To prepare provisions. Now remember, we have to understand that at this moment, until they cross the River Jordan, at this moment they were still under where they were being fed by the Lord manna. This is very interesting to note, because once we get over into the promised land, you're not going to see that anymore. Their way is going to change. The way that they are fed, the way that they worship, the way that they do things, everything is fixing to change for the children of Israel. They have not walked this path before that they're fixing to walk in. And so for now, they're still under this that they were under with Moses. And they were being fed by the provisions of God. But listen to what it says. It says, prepare provisions. The word in the King James is victuals. Or if there's any type of meat that you need to prepare, if there's any type of food outside of this manna that you need to get to doing it. Because in 3 days, it's going to happen. Joshua receives the command from the Lord, and then Joshua instantly makes haste, doesn't he? He doesn't wait around. He doesn't say, well, maybe let's do this, and maybe we need to think about this before we cross this swollen river. No, Joshua doesn't do that. He says, pass through the midst of the camp, command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan. I love how the Word of God describes the Jordan River here as if it is nothing. You're going to cross this Jordan. You're going to cross this Jordan. Now for Joshua, the Lord didn't tell him to build a raft or to swim across and tie a line to where we could pull a ferry or a pulling service across or build a boat or any type of construction that would carry them across the Jordan. One thing that I see when I look at Joshua here is I see that he could absolutely care less about the River Jordan that was swollen out of its banks that lied before him. Why would he? He had been with Moses that stood before the Red Sea. Why would he care about the River Jordan that was before him? He doesn't even think anything of it. This is Joshua, and the Lord didn't tell him to build boats and to build all this stuff. Joshua knew that they were going in 3 days to possess the land. Joshua knew that water wasn't an obstacle to get upset about. He remembered the Red Sea. Water wasn't going to get him down. So he sees this formidable task in front of him, a swollen river out of its banks, and he has the job of taking all of the Israelites over. And the Red Sea, or in the River Jordan, is not even an issue. He says, prepare food. He doesn't say anything about the water. Listen to what it says here. And then it moves on. To go and to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. Joshua was fully confident that the omnipotent God that he served, just as he witnessed what happened with Moses, all the many times that the Lord had control over the water, whether it be coming out of the rock, whether it be turning the brackish water into clean water, whether it be crossing the Red Sea, whatever it may have been, Joshua was fully confident. He had faith in the omnipotent God, the all-powerful God, that the Lord would take care of this obstacle that was in front of him. All he had to do was be obedient. To go forth. But he tells them, he says, load up on your provisions. Prepare. They're fixing to cross this. And he goes back and he tells them, prepare. Prepare. And they were told all the whole time that they were with Moses to prepare, weren't they? Go out in the mornings and gather your food. And on the sixth day, go and gather more. So you'll have enough for 2 days. Go and do these things. Joshua tells them the same thing here. Go and prepare to make provisions. The application to this is that if we are going to fight the good fight of faith, then we are to prepare. We're to load up on God's Word. We're to load up on manna from heaven. the Word of God. It is a sword. It is sharp and it cuts all the way. All the way down. And so we're to prepare and we're to load up on that. But Joshua had faith. But notice that with this faith that Joshua had, that he was going to have to work it. And we've been talking about that a little bit in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, on Wednesday night. Joshua had faith, but his faith was no good unless he stepped out by faith and walked across that River Jordan. And so here the promised land that the Lord had given to the people would not be theirs unless they went and took it. So they could have faith all they wanted to possess the land. But unless they put action with their faith, it would have done them no good whatsoever. It was Joshua's faith that compelled him to work and to lead the people. But I want to talk about something tonight that a lot of times people overlook in this passage of Scripture, in this text. And I think it's really, really interesting to see when you look at the history of what's happening here in the first chapter. So they're getting the army together. Okay. And Joshua knows that this has been a source of contention in the past. I'm in a really, really sore spot in the past. It was with Moses. And I'm going to explain that to you. Listen to what it says in verse 12. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you? Joshua brings to mind after he tells them that pass through the land, tell them to prepare. Then he goes to the two tribes and then to the half tribe or the three tribes, Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh. And he goes to them and this is what he says. Remember what you and Moses spoke about? Now you're fixing to have to ante up on it. This was a source of contention for Moses. Joshua was Moses' right-hand man. And Joshua knew this. He knew that these three tribes, there was a source of contention there. And I'll get to what it was. See, Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh on the east side of the Jordan before you get into the promised land. It was wonderful land for grazing cattle. Wonderful. And Reuben and Gad and half-tribe of Manasseh, those tribes, they wanted that land. They wanted it. They go to Moses after they defeat the kings. And they say, we want this land for us, for our tribes. We have a lot of cows. We got the flocks. They're running out our ears. We need a place to put them. We want this land. Pretty convenient since the people had already been defeated, right? Pretty convenient. Now they ain't got to fight. They've already got their land settled. Moses gets upset with them. Turn with me to the book of Numbers in chapter 32. I want you to see this because Moses, he had his fits, man. And as he got older, I know that he was a meek man, but I'm telling you, he just told them. Like this was a wonderful man of God, Moses was, and he comes right out and just speaks very, very bluntly to Reuben, Gad, and the half a tribe of Manasseh, and he tells them something. And we're going to look at that tonight. Numbers chapter 32, this is a story about when they conquered this area that these three tribes wanted to take. And then Moses, you got to hear the story. It is so cool. It says in verse 1, now the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad had an exceeding large number of livestock. So when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that was indeed a place suitable for livestock, the sons of Gad and the sons of Reuben came and spoke to Moses and Eleazar, the priests, and to the leaders of the congregation, saying, Ataroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah, Heshbon, Eleah, Sebam, Nebo, and beyond. The land which the Lord conquered before the congregation of Israel is a land for livestock, and your servants have livestock. He says, this is a land, this is pasture for cattle. And I know what that looks like. I've got land right now that's good for cattle. The last piece of land I had in Grant Parish was not good for cattle. It was in the hills. It was very sandy. And the grass died very, very quickly. This land was good for cattle. It was a low land. Remember, it was next to the River Jordan. It was low. It had good pastures. And they said, if we have found favor in your sight, in verse 5, let this land be given to your servants as a possession. Do not take us across the Jordan. But Moses said to the sons of Gad and the sons of Reuben, shall your brothers go to war while you yourselves sit here? Moses comes right out and calls them out. He says, are you really going to tempt your brothers to be discouraged while this land has already been conquered? You're going to claim name to it and you're going to allow them to cross over without your help? Moses just calls their hand. Verse 7, now, why are you discouraging the sons of Israel from crossing over into the land which the Lord has given them? And Moses, he comes out and he lamb blasts them right here. This is what your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up to the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the sons of Israel so that they did not go into the land which the Lord had given them. So the Lord's anger burned in that day, and he swore, saying, none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, for they did not follow me fully. Except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzites, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have followed the Lord fully. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years. This is Moses telling this story. Until the entire generation of those who had done evil in the sight of the Lord was destroyed. Now behold, you have risen up in your father's place, a brood of sinful men, to add still more to the burning anger of the Lord against Israel. For if you turn away from following him, he will once more abandon them in the wilderness. Moses comes out and he tells them, he says, if you do this and you don't go into the land to possess it with them and to fight with them, they will continue to wander in the wilderness. This is what Moses tells them. And you will destroy all these people. The people speak back. And this is what Joshua is holding their feet to. Listen to what they say. This Joshua is holding their feet to the fire, and he addresses this first because he knows they're fixing to go over and face opposition right off the bat. And so Joshua addresses this first. Listen to what the people tell Moses in Numbers, verse 16. Then they came near to him and said, we will build here sheepfolds for our livestock and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will be armed, ready to go before the sons of Israel. Here they are. They're agreeing to do something. And Joshua's going to hold them to it. Until we have brought them to their place while our little ones live in the fortified cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return to our homes until every one of the sons of Israel have possessed his inheritance. For we will not have an inheritance with them on the other side of the Jordan and beyond, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side of the Jordan toward the east. So Moses said to them, if you will do this, he comes back to him and he looks at him. I can almost see him pointing at him saying, if you do this, if you will arm yourselves before the Lord for the war, and all of you armed men cross over the Jordan before the Lord until he has driven his enemies out from before him, and the land is subdued before the Lord, then afterward you shall return and be free of obligation toward the Lord and toward Israel. And this land shall be yours for possession before the Lord. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. And be sure your sin will find you out. Turn back with me to Joshua. Joshua comes, and as Moses had this this contention between these tribes. It was pretty brass. I mean, there was a lot of tension there. And so Joshua, the very first thing that he does after he gives this command to go throughout the camp, he addresses this very issue first. And I love this. What a commander. He goes and he tells them, listen to what he says. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, all your valiant warriors, and shall help them. Reuben, Gad, half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua says, get ready, folks. Put on your armor. Get your swords out, because you're going in first. You've already got your land. You've already got your inheritance. Newsflash. You said you would do it with Moses, and you're going to do it under my command. And you're going to get ready now. And so Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they were to be the spearhead going into the land of Canaan. And I love this. Listen to what it says in verse 15. Until the Lord gives your brothers rest. He says you are going to be on the front lines until the Lord gives your brothers rest. Until all the land is possessed, you're going to be on the front lines fighting, because the Lord has already subdued your land. You've already been given your inheritance. Now you have to go in with your brethren and subdue the land, and you're going to be in the front. Then you shall return. In verse 15, he gives you, and they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Love this. Moses talked to them, and he talked to them pretty stiff. And he told them what was going to happen. Joshua was bringing this back to mind. And the people answer. And they say, wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. And then they go on to make further claims of what they would do. Anyone who rebels against your command, remember, they were going in first. They didn't want to be left behind either. So anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. And we're gonna finish there with that this evening. So Joshua, he addresses